Thank you. Good morning. Good morning, friends, and welcome to Gates Presbyterian Church. Whether you've been here your whole life or this is your first time in worship, we are glad that you found your way here to this worshiping community on this third Sunday of Advent. One way you can learn more about how we are church together, take a look at your bulletin. There are all sorts of announcements and notes also about upcoming worship opportunities. Just a few to call your attention to today. First, for those who are very excited, as I am, and wish I could be down there, our Children's Advent Festival that was postponed is happening today during worship. So our children will be leaving following the children's time and going down to Fellowship Hall. And parents or grandparents, if you'd like to accompany your child, you're more than welcome to do so. A lot of great folks have volunteered to help with that today. Also, a note about our upcoming Christmas worship services. Next Sunday is the crazy impromptu Christmas pageant in worship, so you'll all want to be here for that. And a reminder that our Christmas Eve service on December 24th will be happening at 7 p.m. Also, today we would invite you to be a part of our ongoing congregational conversation regarding the property development happening here at GPC. The conversation is happening. So join us after you grab your coffee and take a look at the great crafts the kids have put together and join us back here in the sanctuary. Al had an announcement this morning.
Yesterday, we served a St. Joseph's meal at St. Joseph's House of Hospitality. We got 65 or so people that showed up and enjoyed GPC goulash. It is still the best in Rochester. So thanks for all of you that donated food, donated money, and donated your time. Friday night, we put it together in record time, and Saturday went along without a hitch, so thanks for making it all possible. We do it again in February, so if you missed out, we got another chance coming up next year. One other thing that wasn't on the calendar, but our mission committee donated some money to Grace House. Grace House is a place where parolees that come out of prison can come and stay for a while they get their feet on the ground and get reacclimated to civilian life. We have been supporting Grace House for a number of years. Well, this year, the money that we gave them, a special donation, bought 85 gifts for the men and children that live at Grace House. And this Thursday, they're going to have their Christmas party. So thanks to all of you who support through your giving to the church and donations that make this all possible. 6:30 Thursday night, there's an open invitation to anybody who wants to come see a bunch of real happy kids get Christmas presents early. So thank you again.
Thank you, Al. And Barb, I'm going to assume women's candlelight dinner tickets will be on sale down in the fellowship hall. So don't forget to grab those as you get your cup of coffee. Friends, now let us prepare our hearts, our minds, our entire selves as we celebrate the coming of God's light and love in this world.
Joy is a song that welcomes the dawn.
We light the candle of joy. a reminder that God wants us to rejoice.
The way to Bethlehem is filled with expectations, question, and doubt.
Let us pray together.
Holy One, you enter our hearts, and we hang on to all the reasons to rejoice. You hear our words and silence. Continue to show us your ways of joy in this Advent.
Thank you. Please stand as you're able and join me in the call to worship. The joy of the season is upon us. The time is almost here.
We have come to praise the Lord.
We are here to sing praises to God, the Holy One, in whom we place our trust.
God opens our eyes and lifts us up.
Let us praise God, who reigns forever.
Love it when the third Sunday of Advent feels like Easter. Thank you for our guest musicians this morning. What a great gift it is to praise God. And coming before God with all the joy and all the expectant hope of the Savior that is to come, we also come bearing all of our fears and disappointments where we are separated from one another and from God. Let us join together in our prayer of confession. Here we are, most patient God, in the third week on our way to Bethlehem. Have we paid attention at all to your ways of peace, hope, and joy? We confess that we so easily have given into the expectations of people and situations around us. The joy we feel is a forced happiness to fulfill what we think other people need from us. Help us renew our preparation and expectation for your coming. We live for when creation is renewed and your glory is displayed. We come to you confessing what is on our hearts and minds. We do so trusting that you want to hear our petitions and that you have already forgiven what needs to be forgiven.
We believe that our prayers will be answered in your time and in your almighty wisdom. Amen.
At this time, the children are invited to come forward. Do you want them here? Okay, I'll grab you a microphone. Hi.
Good morning. For those of you who don't call me Mommy or Aunt Jenny, you can call me Jen. So nice to see you all here today. Before we go down to the Fellowship Hall for our Advent Festival, I'm going to share a familiar story with you from a new point of view. This book is called The Birds of Bethlehem. Every morning, the birds of Bethlehem gathered in the field to glean any corn that might be left from the harvest.
Glean any corn from the harvest.
This winter morning was different. Anyone watching would have thought that they spent more time talking to one another than having breakfast. And that was true.
That was true.
Yesterday afternoon, we saw something we'd never seen before, said the green bird and his mate. We saw a long line of people coming over the hills.
Over the hills.
The yellow bird and his mate spoke up. We saw something very unusual yesterday as well. The inn in town was full. What we saw, said the bluebird and his mate, was very strange indeed. A man and his wife were led to the stable because there was no room left at the inn. We were roosting in a tree on the hill, said the red bird and his mate. Below us, there were shepherds watching their sheep. We saw an extraordinary thing. An angel appeared in the sky and said, I bring you tidings of great joy. Go quickly to Bethlehem, where you will find a baby lying in a manger. We were in the same tree, said the brown bird and his mate, and what we saw was spectacular. The night sky was filled with heavenly hosts singing, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to men of good will. What we saw, said the white bird and his mate, was an awesome sight, so we followed the shepherds. This is one of my favorite pictures. Let us go see this miraculous thing that has come to pass. All the birds agreed. In the stable was a young mother, her husband, and their newborn baby. Raise your hand if you know who those people are. Who is it?
Mary Joseph and baby Jesus.
Thank you. So now we're all going to do a quick prayer, and then we're going to head down to the Advent Festival. Repeat after me. Dear God, thank you for today. Thank you for our families. Thank you for our friends. And help us share the joy of Christmas. Amen. All right, so we're going to go down to the fellowship hall now for our Advent festival. The first reading of the word is from the book of Philippians, chapter 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ.
Amen. Our second reading of the day comes from the book of Isaiah, the 12th chapter. I'm going to back that reading up just a bit, and we're going to start right with verse 1. For you will say in that day, I will give thanks to you, O Lord. For though you were angry with me, your anger turned away, and you comforted me. Surely God is my salvation.
I will trust and will not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and my might. He has become my salvation. With joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. And you will say in that day, give thanks to the Lord. Call on his name and make known his deeds among the nations. Proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing praises to the Lord, for he has done gloriously. Let this be known in all the earth. Shout aloud, sing for joy, O royal Zion. For great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. It's interesting how 20 years can sometimes feel so long ago, and at the same time, the smallest detail remains vivid in our minds. It occurred to me this week that it was 20 years ago when I came home from college over Christmas break to discover an unfamiliar car in the driveway. My mom's friend from work came out the front door with a troubled look on her face. She explained there had been a car accident and my mom was in the hospital. We needed to go right then. And since my parents had divorced earlier in the year, my grandmother was on her way to take care of my younger brother and sister. See, up to this point in my life, I had actually never even really been to a hospital or dealt with the grown-up responsibilities, such as calling the car insurance company or making decisions about a parent's health care. In the days that followed, there were multiple surgeries and so much time spent in the ICU waiting room. As Christmas Eve approached, I can remember all of us feeling completely lost about what we were supposed to do. See, we sat in my mom's hospital room and the medical equipment kept beeping and whirling. And then there was the voice of Santa saying, "You'll shoot your eye out, kid," while the Christmas Story marathon played over and over again in the background. I still hate that movie to this day. And the whole situation just felt so absurd. This was not how Christmas was supposed to be. And I left that night. I left the hospital on Christmas Eve, and I snuck into my family pew in church where I grew up. Actually, there was no sneaking into that pew. We sat the third pew from the front because my mom always thought we'd behave better if we sat up close. No. And I remember sitting there as the light of the candles were distributed down the row, and I carefully tilted mine down, and the light of both candles were extinguished by the dripping wax. And the tears began to roll down my cheek, and the person next to me patted my hand and said, "Oh, don't cry, it really doesn't matter that much." But a wise and wonderful family friend who knew everything that was going on, put her arms around me and said, "It does matter. It matters very much," and cried alongside me. And a few moments later, with our candles relit, we joined our voices in the verses of Silent Night. And then, without hesitation or reproach, I sang "Joy to the World" with all my normal gusto and loudness that my best friend can only describe as the Peanuts choir singing all together in one body and voice, slightly off key, but with so much joy. And at that time, maybe I would not have named it as such, an experience of joy. But now,
Now I do. Because like so many, I've confused joy and happiness, especially at this time of year when the expectation of jolliness just hangs in the air. But in that moment, there was something powerful and sacred to being connected to those familiar songs that celebrate God's inbreaking, God's very life coming from the heavens and being here in the world with us, that filled my heart with joy and gave me hope that something better was to come. So even if we don't think about it, worship and liturgy, carols and hymns have a powerful way of doing that. And our scripture reading this morning, though located in the book of Isaiah, is actually a psalm composed by an anonymous prophet, often referred to by scholars as 2nd Isaiah. This prophet, or most likely more than one prophets, served in Babylon during the time of Israel's lonely exile there, to use the words of the Advent hymn we will close worship with today. The prophets, having spent much of their writing up to this time being present with the people in the midst of exile, with all of the physical, emotional, and spiritual trauma of acknowledging that life is not working out the way that they had planned. And the prophet invites the people to do two things. First was to remember. Remember a time when they felt the comfort of joy. My memories were of Christmas Eve services gone by. For the Israelite people, the echo of memory is suspended in verse 3, one we would just skim right over and pay little attention to. With joy, you will draw water of salvation. But for the Israelite people hearing those words, they would remember. They would remember that prior to their exile to Babylon, every year, Jewish men and women and children would travel as one of the sacred pilgrimages to the temple in Jerusalem to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles, or Sukkot. This was a week-long festival and a celebration of the people's dependence on the will of God, especially as it pertained to the harvest. So at the end of an agricultural year, the people put on this incredible party in Jerusalem. There would be gatherings of music and dance and food. And when the temple in Jerusalem stood prior to its destruction, a ritual was performed each day. In the morning, people would go down to the pool of Siloam and they would carry water up the pilgrim road into the temple courtyard. The water would be set down, and then in the evening, in that outer temple courtyard, the lights of torches and fires would twinkle, and the faithful tens of thousands of people would gather. They would dance. They would sing praises to God with harps and lyres, cymbals and trumpets. The water would be poured over the altar by the high priest, and the celebrations would continue long into the night. And the Talmud, or the writing of the rabbinic law, remembers that moment in this way. He who has not seen the delights of the water process has not seen any of the pleasures of life. You see, despite the lonely exile of the people's current situation in Babylon, they remember. They remember the joy
of those days. And as wonderful, though, as the warm, fuzzy memories of the way that it used to be were in their lives, it still wasn't going to be enough to get the people through. And the prophet knew that. So the second invitation to the people comes in these words. You will say in that day, the prophet cajoles without hesitation for the readers to imagine a future. I will give thanks. I will trust. I will not be afraid. For surely the days are coming that we will sing again of the experience of God's deliverance, and Emmanuel will come to thee, O Israel. See, on our way to Bethlehem, closer with each Sunday in this season of Advent, today we take a moment to look back. To look back at times of our life that were filled with meaning. Such incredible joy, not because they were bright and shiny with unrealistic possibilities, but because they held the meaning of knowing pain and darkness would not have the last word. And friends, we don't. We can't hesitate in our moving forward because what is before us is scary or unknown, or we feel unprepared. See, there was nothing bright or shiny leading Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem, not even the star that comes later. They were forced to leave the comforts of their home and family in Nazareth to walk for over a week across rocky and hilly terrain to appease government officials in their attempt to more accurately exploit and tax the people. I can't even fathom, in her third trimester of pregnancy, Mary setting forth on that road to Bethlehem. She had to have been feeling so done with pregnancy. And for anyone who has experienced in your actual body or supporting and love someone else, that third trimester, you're just done. And one of the things that you do is you go out and walk, hoping that that baby will arrive. But I do not think that Mary had in mind a week-long walk to Bethlehem as the way that it was going to be for her, nor could she have imagined giving birth among strangers and animals. And then to have to flee the threat of her son being murdered by the government, and they would cross the border to Egypt. These details of the story in our imaginations and in the text, they matter. Because for Mary and Joseph and Jesus, they continued down the painful road before them, moving forward, trusting in God's presence, that would indeed comfort them. Perhaps joy is not how she would have described the whole ordeal either. But yet we know that there were fleeting moments of joy that she clung desperately to. The light of the star, the sounds of the angels, the unexpected visitors, and a newborn child lying in a manger. I'm reminded of Mary's willingness to set out on that road, and ours, even when life isn't going quite how we expect. The words of the poem from Mary Oliver called Don't Hesitate. If you suddenly and unexpectedly feel joy, don't hesitate. Give in to it. There are plenty of lives and whole towns destroyed or about to be. We are not wise and not very often kind, and much can never be redeemed. Still, life has possibility left. Perhaps this is its way of fighting back, that sometimes something happened better than all the riches or power in the world. It could be anything. But very likely you notice it in the instant when love begins. Anyway, that's often the case. Anyway, whatever it is, don't be afraid of its plenty. Joy is not made to be a crumb. And so, too, on this third Sunday of Advent, we are called not to settle for the crumbs of joy sprinkled in between the cracks of when all feels right in this world, but along this road to Bethlehem, in the hurt and the heartache, the difficulties and sufferings, we must continue to sing. To sing of the joy in the memories past and the fulfillment of God's promises in the days to come. May it be so now for you and for me. Amen.
Gather to sing God's praises, we come bringing in our hearts and minds the prayers that have gathered in our lives this week, both individually and for our world. Share with us your prayers of joy and concern.
Good morning, Tracy Berkovich. Prayers for the Thornton family. Chris's father was taken by Mercy Flight to a hospital in Syracuse yesterday, and just they know he has sepsis, and they're just kind of waiting for him to kind of stabilize before they do some surgery. So prayers for their family.
Prayers for the Thornton family.
Bill DeSero, I'd like prayers for my sister and her husband. About a day and a half ago, her husband, who's suffering from dementia, got taken into the hospital with a very diseased gallbladder and is turned into a septic fever, and I'm just waiting to find out things right now. But so far, it's been stable, but uncertain.
Is this your sister, Bill? Prayers for your sister facing all these health complications.
Whit Beckett, continued prayers for Bonnie. On top of her Alzheimer's, she has had a urinary tract infection for the last week, and I'm really hoping that that's screwing up her mobility functions, because they're just gone, and if it doesn't go away when she gets rid of the infection, she'll probably have to go to a nursing home.
Prayers for Bonnie and for you, Whit, and the entire family. Kathy
Wakeman, I'd like to thank you all for your prayers of love and support and the cards and everything that have been coming to our home after the loss of my dad. We're doing okay. We were very fortunate to have all been together the afternoon before he passed. And he was lucid and was able to smile, and how can you ask for more than that? Thank you.
Continued prayers, Kathy, with you and the entire family and the loss of your dad. Tom.
I'd like to ask for prayers for Hannah Walker. Hannah was hospitalized again last week. She's home now, but just keep her in your prayers. And also continued prayers for the people in the Central American region that are part of the caravan at the southern border, and that might be resolved peacefully.
And specifically to build on that prayer, let us also pray for the family of Jacqueline Cayal, the 7-year-old Guatemalan girl who died in the U.S. Border Patrol custody this week, for all the children and the men and the women whose names we don't know and who have died fleeing the violence of their home countries.
I echo the prayers for Kathy and Larry's family. I raised my hand to pray for them. I didn't know they were sitting behind me. I'm glad to find that out. Also, I ask prayers again, as I did last week, for my friend Clara, who has colon cancer. I grew up with her.
Prayers for Clara.
Thank you.
Thank you. And we also ask prayers this morning for Sally and Steve Christensen. Sally Christensen's mother entered into hospice this week, and Steve will be having knee replacement surgery on Wednesday, and for their whole family, because the boys will have lost 3 grandparents in the course of 6 months. So that's a lot for the Christensen family, a lot of prayers for them today.
Ann Haig, I would like once again to thank all the wonderful people who have called, sent cards, and my good friends who have made sure I had food. I am not well yet, but I'm getting there. Thank you.
Good to see you, Ann. Welcome back. Thank you. And continued prayers also for Jerry and Pam Crandall, whose daughter's cancer has returned. We continue our prayers for that family. Let us join our hearts together. Holy God, it's the most wonderful time of year. The music swirls toward our ears from countless speakers, but we aren't so sure. We've been so wrapped up in the preparation for the wonderful season, we are struggling at times to find the joy. There are so many people in need. We have friends and family members who are suffering from illness and loss, alienation, and mental illness. We want them to be happy, but Lord, we know that we can't make that happen. We do bring their names to you, Lord, both those spoken aloud and the ones we hold in the depths of our hearts. for your healing mercy and rest in the assurance of your loving presence with them. That is a comfort to us. But we also stand in need of your healing restoration. Where we feel depleted and discouraged and exhausted, slow us down, O Lord. Help us to feel the joy of your love come from the inside out and in every direction. Remind us that your gift of love is freely given to us, that we may be healed and be a blessing to someone else. Touch our hearts and spirits so that your joy may spring from our lips and lives. For we ask it in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. And now let us receive the morning offering.
God of great wonders, we join with you in the joy of this season of giving. You gave us a Savior who is Christ the Lord. You give us life and breath. You fill the world with beauty, our hands with bounty, and our hearts with the desire to give. Accept these gifts and ourselves in service always in every season. Amen.
Oh, God, oh, God.
of the powerful pieces of that song is to hear the voice of the congregation with utter determination over top of the discourse of this world, of the difficulty, of the complicated and unknown, to sing rejoice. So go out into this world and sing God's songs of rejoice, for indeed, Emmanuel is coming to us and to this world. May God's love be known in Jesus, and may you be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit to keep singing God's joy now and forevermore. Amen.